Did you know that 95% of your decisions are based on your feelings? Not logic, not rational thought, your feelings. Can you feel the pull of emotions, hunger, guilt, pain, jealousy, depression, and everything else weighing on your every decision that you make? My next guest is Ryan Muncy. He is the author of Fuck Your Feelings, Master Your Mind, Accomplish Anything, and Become a More Significant Human. As a gym owner, nutritionist, and high-performance advisor, Ryan has had the opportunity to work with thousands of people, ranging from the average Joe to Navy SEALs, Olympic athletes, and soccer moms, all the way to Hollywood movers and shakers. Ryan is also the co-founder of the Better Human Project, and I had the opportunity to go to one of his workshops, which was amazing, Making Better Humans. You are going to love the show with Ryan Muncy.
Are you ready to become a better version of yourself, to become a leader in your personal and professional life? Then welcome to the CJ Evolution Podcast, where we put a twist on traditional criminal justice professions and provide you with the tools you need to set yourself up for success in your career and for the future. Now, welcome your host, the CJ Evolutionist himself, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. So excited to be here. Always an honor to be on the show and host it. Thank you so much for tuning in, sharing it with your family and friends. If you take a moment when you get a chance and hop onto iTunes, give us that 5-star rating. We sure would appreciate it. Big shout out to all the brave men and women out there working in the criminal justice field, whatever you were doing, wherever you were at, especially in these uncertain times. Thank you for your work, your dedication. Remember, you were honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. And everybody else out there keeping this country humming along, thank you so much for your contribution. Folks, if you love coffee, and I know a majority of you do, you're in criminal justice, you're going to love the products from Four Sigmatic. I've been touting this company for a couple of years now, and for good reason. I love their coffee, and you will too. I'm a big fan of the Lion's Mane mushroom coffee. It doesn't taste like mushrooms. It tastes like regular coffee. I think it tastes better than regular coffee, and it's better for you. If you head over to cjevolution.com, you're going to see a link to this great company, Four Sigmatic, and you're going to get 15% off using the promo code CJEVO. Folks, I know for many years, I struggled with like gut issues and stomach problems when I was on the job. A lot of that was eating poorly, stress, and I know a lot of you know what I'm talking about, but I want to talk to you about my good friends at Bioptimizers. If you're over 35, your enzyme levels have already begun to decline and your immune system can be more susceptible to viruses. Enzymes are the workhorses of digestion. They break down food into usable macro and micronutrients. Research shows that by the time someone hits 65, their saliva and pancreatic secretions, both of which are involved in enzyme activity, can have declined by as much as 50%. This decline creates chronic indigestion, setting the stage for gut issues, yeast and mold overgrowth, even malnutrition. This is why I'm a big fan of enzyme and probiotic supplementation. And one of the best companies I've ever found that specializes in optimizing your digestion through both of these supplements are my friends at Bioptimizers. Bioptimizers found a better version for the probiotic. The result is a new super strain they call the Navy SEAL of probiotics because it eliminates bad bacteria and promotes the good bacteria. You can watch the P3OM and Masszymes combo rapidly dissolve raw steak when you go to www.bioptimizers.com/CJEvolution. That's bioptimizers.com/CJEvolution. And use promo code CJE10 to get 10% off of any package. Try their enzyme and probiotic combo pack risk-free today. They have the best guarantee I've seen in the industry. It's a 365-day full money-back guarantee. Again, that's www.bioptimizers.com/CJEvolution. On to the show with my good friend, Ryan Muncy. Hello, everybody. I am so excited to have my friend, Ryan Muncy, back on the show. He's the author of Fuck Your Feelings and co-founder of the Better Human Project. And we're going to get in to the Better Human Project. But first off, Ryan, thanks for being here, brother.
Oh, Patrick, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's always a pleasure talking to you, man. I mean, I could talk with you for days. Now, you're doing so much good in the world, brother. You talk to just tons of people everywhere around the world. How did you get started on your path? I always ask that because every path is different. I get that. But what was the catalyst to get you started?
You know, I guess you could probably ask me this question every single day, and I'd give you a different answer every day. And I think, you know, and that's probably reflected in my pause and in my sigh and trying to buy myself some time here. But I think it depends on, I guess my answer would depend on how far back I go, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess, if we go all the way back to, you know, high school and college, you know, I was really fortunate. I played sports my entire life up until college. You know, I say fortunate because, you know, I think sports and athletics and coaching and being part of teams can teach us so much and prepare us for life, you know, so well. And I was not good enough to play at the college that I chose to go to. I went to Clemson University. So, you know, they're okay at sports.
just a little bit.
I wasn't quite good enough to play at that level. And, I played basketball and soccer. And, because I had spent my entire life playing sports and then I got there and I didn't, I needed to fill that competitive and physical void with something, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a physically cultured person, if you're used to moving and being active, you know, that's something that kind of just stays with you for most of us. And for me, you know, that answer became the weight room. And it was somewhere around that period. My father had recently been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. His younger brother was a type 1 diabetic from birth or shortly after birth. And, I know he actually passed away like 3 or 4 weeks ago, actually.
Oh, geez.
And, you know, as we're recording this in the middle of COVID and, mm-hmm. you know, everybody's talking about how everything is disrupted. I mean, I'm sure, you know, you can immediately kind of go down that path and you can follow those dominoes. Like, you know, when somebody passes during this, like there's not a service, you can't have a gathering. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's just a side note, interesting thing. His older brother then was diagnosed, type 2 diabetic. And so, you know, I come from a family that is, you know, my dad's side of the family is, you know, they're Southwest Virginia, they're country folk and, you know, they eat that way, but it's also, obviously there's a genetic predisposition. So, you know, I always tell people I'm the only male in my family who isn't diabetic. And, it's definitely not an accident. I got really interested in nutrition at the same time that I was, you know, getting into lifting weights and just started learning everything I could. And, you know, that's really kind of where it all began. Like, that's how I got on this path of health, human performance, human potential. And the more I started learning, the more I realized that what the average person heard in regards to these things wasn't the truth, but it wasn't the best way or it wasn't mm-hmm. accurate. It wasn't rooted in science. And, you know, I wanted to have some kind of a platform where I could get that information out to people who wanted it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been a, you know, 15, 16 year journey from that point to where we are now. And, you know, as you know, there's a lot of ups and downs and twists and turns, and it's anything but linear. And, you could go back 10 years, 5 years, 3 years and say, like, I could not have predicted, you know, where I would be today or 3 years in advance at any point in that kind of timeline. So it's just, there have been a series of opportunities and decisions and, you know, different things that have kind of led to where we are now.
Yeah.
So I think that if we're looking for like the genesis of it all, it would have to be there.
Yeah. And a big part of the journey, as you know, Ryan, and people who are listening, is the self-care. Because I really love the fact that you have a nutritionist and personal trainer background, so you know the value, obviously, of taking care of the body and mind. And we live in a world now, Ryan, it seems to me, that there's so much junk out there to consume that people aren't taking care of their body. And it really starts with that, right? It starts with nutrition and proper training and exercise, and everything else is going to be easier, right? Or easy. And it's not going to be without obstacles or roadblocks, but nutrition and self-care, other self-care, it's like the foundation.
Right. It absolutely is. And I think there's a great quote that, I've heard repeated a lot recently, and that is, we cannot pour from an empty cup. You mm-hmm. can't give what you don't have. And, if you don't have energy, if you don't have strength, if you're not, well-rested or, whatever, we don't have the ability to, show up for others. And I'll never forget, I interviewed a retired military guy who, I won't say his name, doesn't matter, but he kind of has a big following. And, I asked him what it meant to him to be strong. And I'll never forget, he described it as being a table, or having the ability to be a table. And it meant that he or we would have the ability to protect people kind of underneath of us and provide shelter, but also to be strong and stable enough to support people, on top. And, if you think about what a table requires, you have to have stability and strength. Mm-hmm. And, those are things that, like I said, we can't give that or provide that or show up for other people if we don't have that first for ourselves. And so, I think there's tons of variations on how you see that expressed, especially all across social media now, where, the mastery of yourself so that you can serve others, or, maybe like a selfish way of looking at self-care so that we can be there for others. And it, like I said, it's all kind of going towards the same end, the goal, if you will, right?
Now let's talk about, if you don't mind, we can shift a little bit. Mm-hmm. You mentioned this horrible viruses out there, COVID-19. There's a lot of people, Ryan, and again, you talked to a ton of people that are in fear right now. What advice would you give people on how to mitigate some of that fear? I don't think they're ever, especially you're never going to get rid of it, but what can people do right out there that they can help them, to kind of mitigate?
I'm going to pull from, since you mentioned I talked to a lot of people, I actually had the opportunity to talk to Tony Blauer about this mm-hmm. Recently on our podcast, Better Human Project. And that episode actually will come out next Thursday. Okay. So I don't know when this episode with you and I will come out. By the time this one airs, Tony's will probably already be out. But
sure.
If you don't know Tony is, he created the fear system. It's a self-defense system. He studied fear and violence and self-defense for over 40 years. And his podcast is actually called No Fear, KNOW. And he and I kind of developed a friendship after my book came out. And he read it, loved it. And we talk about so many of the same things. When we were talking, he really made a lot of the same points that you just made, and that it's about mitigation. It's not about complete removal of fear. And I talk about this with your feelings, that feelings aren't inherently bad. They serve a biological purpose. They are sort of a red flag that help us know where we need to direct our attention and what we need to pay attention to. And it's almost like a signal light on the dashboard. And, the biological purpose is to help us, focus on the signal within the noise, right? Because we have so much information coming in on a daily basis. And because fear is such a powerful mechanism to narrow our focus, that's why you see the media spin things into fear-based headlines or fear-based stories because they know that that's what grabs our attention. So simply having that awareness, you know, can kind of help us maybe not be like a moth attracted to light and shiny objects every time somebody gets on, you know, a headline and it's trying to get your attention. That's a tangent, so I apologize for that. I'll come back to it and actually answer your question. But I think, you know, it's not about, like, we're never going to be in the absence of fear. Even, like, you have a law enforcement and military background. Like, even a special forces guy on a night raid mission, like, I think the average person thinks, like, oh, here's a Navy SEAL going on a raid. Like, it's DevGru, and those guys are fearless. Like, well, they're not fearless when it comes to jumping out of an airplane. Like, they're fully respecting what that is. But what we fail to take into account is that they've probably got somewhere close to 800 or 1,000 jumps that they've previously done. They've trained for that thing. So they have specific stress inoculation, right? So they're doing something that they have patterned and turned into a habit and a pattern so that they can almost go on autopilot and just do what they do. It doesn't mean they're not afraid. And I think that's sort of where we need to get with, or that's what we're trying to accomplish, right? And so a lot of these things, we fear the unknown, right? Like, if you've never jumped out of an airplane before, you're going to have a certain level of fear. If you've never been through a pandemic before, you're going to have more fear than, like, let's say we have another pandemic in 5 years, and then we have a third pandemic in 10 years. By the time we get to that third one, 10 years from now, our level of fear will pale in comparison to our level of fear now, just because we've been through it. We know what to expect. We know what's going to happen. And so the fact that we really don't know what to expect is one of the things that really starts to generate a lot of fear. And so then we really start to get into uncertainty. And now we're going to start talking about psychology 101 and the human need and how we really, most people have this, everybody needs certainty and stability to a degree, some more than others. And the folks who are really struggling the most with this are the folks who really have to either feel like they're in control, or the folks who really require and seek a lot more certainty and stability in their lives. And so that's why you see, like, a lot of entrepreneurs are really not, I don't want to say freaking out, but their level of fear through this is lower than somebody who is maybe not an entrepreneur. And I'll give you two reasons for that. One, because most entrepreneurs by nature have a greater degree of, can tolerate a greater degree of uncertainty or instability, right? That's just part of their nature and part of their buildup. That's what makes them gravitate towards entrepreneurship. Whereas if somebody really wants stability, then that's somebody who isn't going to probably start their own business. They're going to be more of like an employee type individual, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the second reason is, as an entrepreneur, you have the ability to you kind of have this open architecture, right? Like, you can design your business. You have the ability to pivot. You're kind of in control, which is ironic because, you know, we're talking about, but most of the fear is, you know, people losing control. But as an entrepreneur, like, you can say, okay, well, if this part of my business is gone, so, like, for me right now, I'm not speaking. I can't go out and do events. I can't do workshops. I'm not speaking. Yes, I'm going to lose money from that. But I also have other things that I can do to make money, or to try to replace that income.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas, you know, if I'm an employee at, you know, if I'm a pilot for, you know, Southwest Airlines, there's not a lot I can do.
Now,
hopefully that answers your question.
Oh, yeah, it answers it completely. And I really love what you said about, and it's so true about, you know, kind of like, you know, repetition. When you go through it, you gave a great example of another virus. So we've been through it, so we know what to expect. We're not as fearful. I used to jump out of planes, and I was always freaked out, you know, in the Army. but it was mitigated exactly like you said, because I did it and it was repetitive. I knew that I couldn't do this or do that. And it just came ingrained. Not that I wasn't afraid. Look, I think the day you become not afraid jumping on a plane, something's wrong.
Like you're not respecting like what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I love it. I mean, it puts things into perspective. And one of the things I do, Ryan, is I want to get into like your circle of influence or your circle of five, but I don't watch the news that much anymore, my friend. I turn it on. I get some stuff at the beginning of the day, but I got other stuff to do. I talk to great people like you. I talk to people that are lifting me up. I don't watch the news. And I think for some people, not all people, that's just feeding into it. And you're just sitting at home all day watching the news. Yep. And it's fear-based. That's their job. That's how they make the money. So, but I alluded to it, but I want to dig into it a little bit more with you. You know, how important is it, your circle of five, whatever you want to call it. Jim Rohn talks about, the people you surround yourself with. How important is it when we're talking about fear? You know, I mean, with the people you surround yourself with.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge believer in the power of who you surround yourself with, mm-hmm. for no matter what context we want to look at that through. But if we're going to look at it through the lens of fear, it's still equally important. And I think regardless of the lens that we look at it through, the people with whom we spend the most time, our belief systems will begin to mirror and match theirs. And so I'll give you an example of how this happens. Let's say that the two of us and, your son and Donna and one other person all kind of start hanging out together. And, we're in a group text and we're talking daily. And things happen to where we're the five, right? Like we're each other's five. And, the four of us absolutely love Tiger King. and that's like, we are obsessed with it. We've all watched every single episode. That's all we talk about. Like we make inside jokes about it. And then there's one person that hasn't seen it. It's only a matter of time before that fifth person watches it, because they've got to know like what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. They want to be a part of the conversation. They want to be a part of the group. And so like the group values end up becoming every individual's values to some extent. Right? Now, if we started a cult and, we started like raising tigers and doing weird stuff, like maybe that fifth person would be like, all right, you guys are taking this a little bit too far. But like, you can apply the same logic to like Game of Thrones or any TV show, yeah. Right? Like if all your friends watch a show and you don't watch it, you're probably going to eventually watch it. Whatever it is. And so, I think the important thing to take away there is, as you said, those belief systems start to rub off. And so if you're listening to people who are, as you said, not listening to the news, and they're seeking ways to better themselves, and they're having, powerful and positive conversations, that just seeps in, and your brain starts to think that way and work that way and wire that way. And it's like, those are the neurons that fire. And so, I can't stress the importance of that enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's so important. I think so much is based, on who you surround yourself with, the most time with. And I believe that throughout your life, and I'm sure you do, Ryan, that those influences are probably going to change throughout your life, where some people who is in, one person that was in your group or male or female 10 years ago, it's probably not going to be in your group now. Maybe they are, but it's going to constantly change throughout your life.
Definitely. When I was starting my gym business, my circle of influence it was filled with people who, were in that space. And as I transitioned out of that and into podcasting, I started paying attention to, some folks that could, or spending time with folks that could help me in that area. And then as I transitioned from that into you know, writing a book and becoming an author. I started shifting again. And so that's like, there's nothing wrong with that. And I think a lot of folks struggle with that. You know, that as the seasons of our lives change, so too will our circles and our interests and, you know, how we spend our time, who we spend it with. And I think a lot of folks have problems or struggles with either letting go of certain individuals or letting go of belief systems that no longer serve them. And I think that's the question that I find myself giving other people to think about in those moments is, you know, how does this serve you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of a developmental way of looking at things. It's less binary than the question that most people ask, which is, you know, is this good or bad? And nothing is inherently good or bad. Mm-hmm. There's always like shades of gray or you know, how it serves you. So,
Yeah, I know for me, Ryan, that I was that person that, you know, when I started on my path to more growth and development, I knew I had to change, you know, my circle, some people in my circle. But I was often afraid, here's the fear again, that, oh my God, you know, hurt people's feelings. Some of them were family members. And then you get the, you don't love me anymore. But I slowly learned over time, look, I have to be very, very, very passionate and about who I, it's my life. You should be selfish, you know, to that extent by having people in your circle. They influence you so much. And what I realized through time, and it was tough, and it was a learning process, constantly learning, is that people who are, let's say, toxic and negative that are in your circle, they're always going to find somebody else to dump on, to spread their toxicity. You don't need those people in your life. And it's not about, I want to preface it again, it's not about love, especially family members. Often they want to make it about love. Look, I can love somebody and care for them and want the best. I just don't want to hang out with them all the time.
Yep.
And I think that's a big difference.
This is coming up. Yeah, no, I agree. It's funny that this is coming up because I had this conversation this morning with somebody else, and I think there must be something. We must all kind of be hitting that, you know, we're at about that 2 month mark in this quarantine where we're realizing, like, I don't know, maybe that's true, maybe that's not, but yeah.
Well, and I tell people too, Ryan, that you don't have to physically have somebody in front of you to hang out. You can seek out the people and the mentors and the coaches like you that are virtual. You might live in a different state, but I can call you and say, hey, Ryan, give me some advice. That's your influence. So many people think, well, they have to be in front of me. No.
and you alluded to this earlier where when you were talking about there's so much junk for people to consume.
Yeah.
And the way you phrased it was perfect because with that verbiage, if we're talking about nutrition, then of course people think nutrition. But when you say junk to consume, it just doesn't have to mean food. That
exactly.
can mean, you know, what are you listening to? What are you watching? What are you reading? And so, you know, diet isn't just what you eat. It's all of those other things. And, you know, to your point here, it's a great point and something that I think is a very powerful realization for a lot of folks that, you know, with Audible and podcasts and even YouTube videos to an extent, you can certainly elevate your circle of influence and, you know, the five people that you spend your time with, you can curate that any way you want. You know, you can listen to Tony Robbins videos and podcasts and, you know, stuff for 6 hours a day. And if he's in your ear for 6 hours a day, there probably isn't another human being in your ear 6 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Like that makes him the number one person that you spend your time with.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how a lot of people, and I did for many years, you lose sight of that. You know, you lose sight. It's almost like you fall into like this bad habit where you're just like, oh, it is what it is. And, you know, I'm just comfortable with it. So why get uncomfortable with trying to get new people in my life? I'll just put up with it. And like you know, obviously everybody knows, there's no repeats. You ain't coming back. So why not, you know, make your life the best you can with taking care of yourself, nutrition, surrounding yourself with the right people, educating yourself, constantly growing. And I want to ask you, brother, now about you told us about the Better Human Project. Can you talk a little bit about that? I had the honor, by the way, people, and I think the last time Ryan was on, I was talking about this, the Better Human workshop, which was amazing, by the way. And hopefully, I know it's been shelved, but hopefully that gets up and running down the road. But talk about the Better Human Project.
Yeah, and so that was kind of the next evolution from the previous podcast that I hosted. And, you know, when I wrote the book, I stepped away from the previous podcast and started this new podcast. And we weren't really sure what the full project was going to be. And so we chose the word project because, you know, we wanted to kind of convey that, like, hey, this thing's fluid, dynamic, it's changing, and, you know, it's really just an experiment. And, you know, the very first in-person thing we did was more of a, what I would call a leadership experience. And, you know, that was a really cool opportunity to work with the management or C-suite, you know, that's what the business folks would refer to it as. For a particular organization, and I've gotten to do a few of those since then, but every time I did those, I would post about it and, you know, whatever. And people say, oh, I'd love to do one of these. I'd love to come to one. And so then the Better Human Workshop became the public version of that. Mm-hmm. We would say, hey, we'd find a location. Like the one you came to was in Denver at a gym there. And so we find a host facility and then we blast it out and, you know, we get people to show up and, you know, it's a lot of what's in the book, but we take it further because we're able to, you know, the book is kind of like, okay, hey, if I don't know anything about you, this is what I would tell you. Whereas when we get into the workshop, we're able to kind of get into this workbook and go through a lot of exercises. And as you know, the more feedback that I get from you as an individual, the more I can kind of help you, you know, peel those layers and get deeper into specific action items and tangible things that will help you with whatever your goals are and whatever the things that you need to work on. And it's been a really rewarding experience. And like you said, I really hope that we're able to get those back rolling again too. And then on the podcast side, you know, as you've said a few times, I've been really, really fortunate. I get to talk to some amazing individuals, incredibly intelligent people. It's funny, somebody, the last week's episode is with a guy named Dr. Russell Jaffe, and he might be one of the, he's in the top two or three smartest people I've ever met. And he's a former senior scientist with the NIH. He's one of the like original pioneers of functional medicine. And somebody had listened to the podcast, he's a friend of mine, and they were texting me and they were saying, man, I've never hit rewind so many times in a podcast. And, you know, then they sent like the emoji with like the head exploding. And I was like, you think that was rough on you? Try doing it in real time and not having a rewind button. So it's like my brain was fried by the end of that conversation. But it's really cool. That's the Better Human Project.
Yeah, and the book, Fuck Your Feelings, Master Your Mind, Accomplish Anything, and become a more significant human. Folks, you got to read this book. I'm a huge fan. I devoured this book in one sitting. Look, if you want to become better, you have to get this book by Ryan Muncy. And here's a question for you. We talked a lot about indirectly about the book, but it's all in there, what you do. What advice would you give to an aspiring author, Ryan? I mean, you wrote a book. Cool. I think there's a lot of people out there that want to put pen to paper, write a book, but they're like a mental block or whatever. What advice would you give them?
Yeah, so I've gotten this question a lot. I actually considered starting a side business where I coach people through the book writing process because I had so many people reaching out. But there's a series of questions and a few different things that I find myself, advising folks or aspiring authors. And the first one is asking the question of why do you want to write this book? Or in another way, what is your desired outcome? Do you want this book to be a springboard or a platform for you to kind of build authority or credibility and to move on from there with this thing as kind of your calling card or your business card? Or do you want this thing to be like a short, easy to consume resource that you can distribute to a pre-existing audience? There's a lot of different reasons that we would write a book. And so I think a lot of folks struggle to define that from the beginning, right? A book doesn't have to be a 400-page, scientific thing that is like your opus. It doesn't have to be, Hemingway. It doesn't have to be like a Mark Twain novel. It's whatever you want it to be. And that is, you've got to figure that out first. The second thing is, it's a quote from Stephen Pressfield that is one of my favorites. And he says, if you want to be a painter, you've got to put your ass in front of the eagle. If you want to write a book, open up the computer and start typing. Block off an hour a day and just write. You've got to remove judgment from the thing. You've got to get it out, get through it, understand that it's the first. So Hemingway has a quote that says the first draft of everything is shit. If Hemingway says that, then it's okay if you think your first draft sucks. You've got to get it out and then, tear it down, edit it, refine it, keep refining, keep distilling. Come back to, what is the central message? Think about the game of Jenga, right? What is that one block where if you remove that one block, the whole thing comes tumbling down? And so, that's kind of your core statement. What is the thing that if you remove that from your book, it doesn't work or it can't stand? So what's the thing, right? And then everything else is kind of helping you make that argument or that point. There's a lot of other things I could say. I'll say one more, and that is it's called bestseller, not best writer. So you've got to understand that if you want your book to get into people's heads and hearts, it first has to get into their hands. And that takes an extreme marketing effort. And I know this from working with book agents and publishers that a large part of getting a book deal and part of your book proposal is the marketing plan. And whether you work with a publisher or whether you self-publish, you have to have a business plan and a marketing plan. And there's a lot of details. We could do an entire podcast on that. So I'll leave it there.
Well, I love what you said. It's all important. I really love what you said, Ryan, about start with why. I think Simon Sinek said everything starts with asking that question, why? And once you figure out the why, the how is going to come.
Yeah.
Ryan Muncy, you are such an amazing human, sir. I appreciate you coming back on the show. Always an honor and privilege. If people want to find you, your book, your coaching, I know you're doing online training, consulting, where can they find you, brother?
Yeah, the easiest place is just my website, ryanmuncy.com. Everything is that's kind of the hub for everything. You can find new podcast episodes there, the online training. If we're ever able to do more speaking and workshops, that'll be there. I'm not that active on social media, but if I am on social media, it would be Instagram, and it's at Ryan Muncy with an underscore after it.
The Insta. Ryan Muncy, thank you so much, brother, for coming on. I appreciate it. Again, anything we can do. You're already a superstar.
Oh, I don't know about that. Maybe like, who was the Saturday Night Live show? Was it Mary Catherine Gallagher? Superstar?
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm a superstar, I'm on that level. No, Patrick, it's always fun to chat with you. So yeah. Thanks for the opportunity.
And everything will be linked up in the show notes for the listeners out there. Ryan Muncy. Thank you, brother. Have a good day.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.